This is the Talking Split Podcast.
Coaches, thanks for jumping into the Talking Split Podcast. I am Rob Coulter, the Coach Development Coordinator at Basketball Victoria, coming to you from the surface of the sun, otherwise known as the Gaze Room. We have the High Performance Coach for the Country Women, Zoe Carr. Welcome, Zoe.
Thank you for having me.
And we have a special guest, the man that aspires to be Chef Gordon Ramsay. He is the leader in blocks for Basketball Victoria, slightly different type and soon to be former employee. Jared Potto, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Rob. Long time listener, first time caller.
It's always appreciated. And usual time photo taker when we get to the podcast time. So you've done yourself a little bit of a mischief, Jared. What have you done to yourself?
I have lost the battle against a carrot. So moral of the story is vegetables are bad for you.
Yep, very well played. What we are going to talk a little bit today about is the social media side of things of basketball. And given I am a self-confessed hater on social media and I have zero idea what I'm doing with all things social media, we've got the man, the expert in, the man that you would usually see behind the camera and most people probably have never spoken to before, but he's usually the one collecting memories and posting things. As I alluded to, we are about to lose from Basketball Victoria. So where are you off to, Jared?
I am going to be a roads man. So I'm going to be talking about all major road projects in Victoria going forward. So by the time you guys hear this, I'll have 5 hours left in the chair, but it's been fantastic living here in basketball land for the last 6 years. It's a crazy place, but it's a fun place at the same time. And I think, we've got to try to bring some of that energy to roundabouts and intersections and big traffic lights and how good are freeways. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like everything in social media land, you know, you build what you can and you trust the community to build it along with you.
More than happy to tag him into a couple of pothole pictures near our place that we can see if we can get a little bit of traction on.
Pothole Potter.
That is the new hashtag. Like, you can lose the hashtag Talking Split Coaches. Pothole Potter is the new one that we're going to be looking at on the way forward. So, like I said, social media is a world that a lot of our coaches do spend a fair bit of time in, and our players absolutely spend a lot of time in. So what we're going to sort of discuss a little bit today is kind of how you can use it for good, because there is a lot of negative connotations towards social media in general. Like I said, I'm not a massive user. I'm okay with the social media platforms where I feel like I can learn something from. So things like Twitter, to a lesser extent, TikTok. Like there's some cool stuff on TikTok, I must admit, where I can. My latest one has been how I use iOS 16 on the iPhone. That's been my new one as to what widgets can I get all over the place. But there are some areas where you can actually use social media from a really good perspective, I feel like, and especially as coaches. And we've spoken about it a couple of times, I think, in particular during the lockdowns, that we're actually able to connect with a lot of other coaches over the course and find out how they do things, why they do things. Like I know I talked to a coach from Portugal a fair bit on Twitter, and I have to go through like Google Translate every time he sends me a message, flick it through the translator. Okay, what's that mean? Okay, put my return reply in through Google Translate, and back it goes. But for mine, that's a great way to connect with someone that I normally wouldn't see on you know, the everyday basketball sort of scene. So for me, Twitter and TikTok are probably the two I'd use the most. Facebook groups, yeah, there's tons of those about coaching that post plays and diagrams and drills and all those kinds of things. I draw the line at Snapchat. Like, it's just not my thing. Be Real, that's the latest one that I'm sort of learning a little bit more about. Not my thing either. It's just how it rolls. I suppose everyone has a different way of using it. And you know, to steal the line from Pete Lonigan, like, we have to sell our story a little bit more as a sport. And we don't have the exorbitant media throngs that a lot of the other sports do have. We have Pothole Potter and, you know, the coaches that are involved.
Well, not for much longer.
Not for much longer, which is a little bit of an issue. So Zoe, how do you go about using your social media as a coach in that space?
Well, I don't have a plan. I probably should. Often I'm just really sharing the pod. But I'm sort of the same, you know. I have a Facebook account, but I don't really use it. It's more to be able to keep in touch with people that are interstate or overseas or things, and a place to sort of store photos in case, you know, my house burns down and I lose everything there. But Twitter's probably the one. So I use Twitter more for connecting with coaches and sort of seeing what other coaches are doing, because it is a great place for where coaches share ideas and share plays and have conversations. So that's probably where I spend the majority of my time. I don't have an account, but I do jump on TikTok, but that's more just to, I think, switch off than anything else. Like, I just watch stupid videos of dogs and people falling over and it's hilarious, and that's more a I just want to have a good laugh or, yeah, switch off to turn my brain off a little bit. So it's not really used for anything, you know, creative, I guess.
Yeah. Social media turning your brain off is probably the most apt description of it of all time. I mean, Jared, you sit across a lot of platforms, obviously, because you've managed the accounts at BV. Is Twitter probably the main space for coaches?
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of coaches on Twitter. I mean, in the past, there was sort of this idea that Facebook was the place where you talked to people you knew and Twitter was the place where you talked to people you wanted to know. So, you know, there was a lot more of your higher-end coaches who are sort of investing in that platform. And it sort of grew over time, especially in basketball, maybe not so much in Australian basketball, but certainly overseas. You know, you see KD, you see LeBron, you see so many people tweeting out every single day. It's a massive platform in that sense. So, I mean, what do you need to get out of that platform? So I love Twitter because you find so much new information. You see different perspectives from outside of your bubble. Facebook, it's curated a lot more so that you'll see what you are choosing to see. Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, they're all sort of in this similar realm where the curation of that personal space, so to speak, is different for each platform. Twitter, it depends on what you're looking for, of course. You can go right down the rabbit hole. There are some just dark and creepy places on every social media platform. But that's more to say that the people who use those platforms will create the spaces they want. Social media isn't inherently good or bad. We're not talking about something that will warp or will distort reality for people. It will do it if you want it to. So a little bit of something in moderation is always the best case. You know, unlike my coffee addiction, I've heard that moderation is a really good thing. You know, inhaling two or three lattes every morning, not as great, but moderation is a fantastic thing. And these are places where your athletes and your kids and their friends are going to exist. So if you're not at least aware of that, then you're missing out on how they live their lives. It's a completely different world that, you know, your Zoomers and these younger kids in these generations are living in. So you've got to at least have some literacy around that and understanding that, okay, this might not be my cup of tea, but my kid loves these things. So I should at least have an idea of what they're doing. And, you know, especially for coaches too, like your players are going to be in these spaces. What are they doing on these spaces as well?
Yeah, and it's a difficult one because I do have a little bit of an unwritten rule. Actually, it might even be written now to not add any of my kids on social media while I'm coaching them. Like once I'm done with them, no problems. They're no longer my issue. But I kind of want to know what they're doing, but I don't want to know what they're doing at the same time because as soon as I know what they're doing, now I'm kind of responsible and obligated to do something about it if they go and do something wrong, which is quite possible with a lot of them.
And regardless, I think it has to be a rule of – if they are underage, you do not, regardless of whether you're coaching them or not, they're not on your socials and you're not on theirs. It's not the right thing to do. They have no business seeing the sort of things that you're doing. Not that you'd be doing anything crazy, but,
I was gonna say,
what are you
accusing me of?
What are your Saturday nights like?
Sit on the couch mainly.
Yeah. It's just opening up a door that I don't think you want to open.
No, it's absolutely right. And there does have to be a bit of disconnect. Like I joke about it in coaching courses all the time because I do deliver a lot of coaching courses to schools. And one of the things I talk about is I'm forever grateful I didn't grow up in the camera phone era where, yep, you know, we feel the need to film everything, to Snapchat everything. You do one dumb thing on a Friday or a Saturday night and all of a sudden everybody knows about it, whereas 20 years ago, you'd rely on people seeing each other, or they might send a telegram or something like that to let someone know of what's happened.
Not that sort of telegram.
Different type. God, and this is the hard part. Like I'm still learning more and more about the social media.
There is so much out there.
Yeah, like and everything's got a different name.
There's something for everything. There's something for everyone. I've sort of half grown up in the social media era. I mean, to date myself entirely, you know, I was 13, 14 years old when MySpace kicked off. And then we see the rise of every other social media platform as time progressed. And you just think, what have I done with these 15 years on these channels? But then, you know, you see like your memories pop up and everything. It's like, oh, you know, some really fun things have happened over the journey. And I think there's a good part of that too, that you're going to be able to use these as an online archive, as Zoe was saying. You can retain those memories. And for coaches as well, why not retain that really interesting stuff you've seen over the journey? You know, I religiously on Twitter, I'm just liking articles to read in the future. Use it as a resource to figure out the things you really enjoy or the things you really want to learn and go from there and understand that it doesn't necessarily have to be every single thing on that platform you're going to read. But, you know, there's always something interesting and quirky out there, and learn from other people and learn from their successes, learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great way to go about it, because I'm a little similar in that I'll like something, not necessarily because I like it, just because I want to be able to try and find it later, and I don't want to have 85 browser tabs open when I'm trying to flick through what I'm looking for. Like, I know if I see like a drill I like or a play I like, I'll usually shoot that to myself in my direct messages just so I can go back and find it. And, you know, when you're looking for something or you've got a spare 20-25 minutes, I'll go through all those and say, yeah, I want to keep this one, I don't want to keep that one, depending on what you're looking for at the time. But it is a great resource for coaches, and that's mainly Twitter, to be to be fair. I don't tend to find a lot on Facebook. Instagram a little bit, like, you know, you follow a couple of trainers, like the coach we've got out next week, Coleman Ayres, was an Instagram follow. Just happened to see that he was in Australia at the time, and it's like, look, are you going to be in Melbourne? Yep. Would you like to do a clinic? Yep, great. And we'll get him on court for Basketball Victoria next week, which is fantastic. But yeah, it is one of those places where it's great to connect and get access to people you never used to get access to. And I know a lot of kids are probably moving away from Facebook now, because it's that whole...
That's where their parents are.
Like, again, to date them a little bit, that's kind of where their parents are trying to get, you know, Candy Crush likes or whatever the case may be, and additional
that
lives.
That is so dated.
Yeah. Hey, if I start talking about Tom from MySpace, like, we know we've gone a little bit too far. But it is that kind of thing. Kids are moving away from things like Facebook. So they're not... They may have an account, but they don't post on it, and they certainly keep it private. So we do have to be a little mindful as well that the spaces we work in, we don't necessarily want an overlap, but we just have to have an understanding of it, I think, as coaches, which is a really valuable space. So the I know from my end, I've certainly done social media checks on kids over the years, like kids that I'm coaching or kids that I'm about to coach, and just have a little bit of a look through what is their life actually like, how should I trust them, should I not trust them, you know, those types of things. And we'll talk about it from the player perspective a little bit, you know, down the road, I suppose. But I suppose what we have to look at as coaches is, who's our audience? Like, when we are actually posting something, who is our audience? And we know a lot of coaches over the years have gained great followings on Twitter, in particular, through posting drills, posting plays, posting video, because it's that nice blend of a platform where you can interact fairly easily, but you can also post really quickly, which is a really easy retweet, share, whatever the case may be from there. So how important is it, I suppose, to be a positive coach on social media? Like, I mean, you see the good and the bad, Jared. How important is the positive mindset with that?
I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think that, you know, we've talked a lot, or you guys have talked a lot. I've just sat in the corner snapping photos. But Talking Split over the years has talked about the coaching community a lot. And the idea of a community doesn't always have to be you jump into their DMs and say, oh, that was really good, you're a superstar. You can always bring fair and logical criticism and fair and logical conversation to anything. If you don't agree with someone, that's fine, but how do you moderate yourself? How do you talk to someone else and think, well, you know, that was an interesting play, but I would have done this, I would have done that. There are some different things that I, as a coach over my years of experience, have done as well. So you don't necessarily have to be in this, you know, lovey-dovey circus space. Twitter is fantastic to build ideas and educate yourself. So the marketplace of ideas, as it was taught to me a long time ago in university, still lives on, and we can have these really fantastic conversations there. And not every situation is going to be resolved, and that's okay as well. We're talking conversations. It's like your mates at the pub. You might not agree who's going to win the Brownlow medal, but you're having fun doing it. And Twitter's just an extension of the community that we have as large. So why not just, you know, engage these spaces, be fair, be respectful, of course. The same way you're going to be respectful to anyone out in the world, hopefully. But that's all you need to do. You don't need to, you know, moderate and curate yourself too much. But, you know, come at it from a fair perspective.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, though, that I see a lot, and it really upsets me, is when coaches or parents or observers, whoever it is, you know, whether it's a team announcement, a coaching announcement, whatever it might be for whatever level, and people don't agree with it, and that's fine. They have the right to not agree with it, but they jump on that announcement and start telling the world how much they don't agree with it and how ridiculous it is that this person hasn't been picked or that person isn't the coach or this and that and the other. And it just detracts from the, I suppose, excitement that the athletes or coaches should be allowed to sort of partake in on that announcement. I just feel like, you know, again, I'm not saying you can't disagree, but time and place for mine, you know, make sure if you were somebody that was in that team or named as that coach or whatever the announcement is, how would you feel if you saw that post that's really just negative and basically saying that the whole thing is wrong and questioning whether you should be there or these athletes should be there? How would that make you feel? And if the answer is anything other than, you know, I'd be completely fine with it, it'd be great, don't post it. You know, just delete it. You know, text the person you were tagging in rather than, you know, tag them in and try and get them on board to start, you know, making a long chain of complaints.
And I think in that space too, we do have to be really mindful. Like, if you disagree with the Boomers or Opals selection, you can kind of have your say on it. Like, they're adults we're dealing with there. Like, it's, I mean, and in a lot of cases, they're pros who are used to hearing the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything in between. So it's a very different space to if you're talking about junior athletes. So I have a real bugbear personally of people naming under 18 athletes about, you know, this player should have made, or that, or more to the point, that player shouldn't have made it.
Yeah, that's
the worst. I have a massive issue with that because that player should never be subjected to having to see that. They're a kid that has not done anything wrong. They just turned up to a trial. They've been picked. That's not their fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their doing, I suppose, that they've been good enough to get picked, but they shouldn't have to read that.
I think that's just a classic problem in these sort of elite spaces as well. You're going to have people who don't know all the facts and they're going to chime in. So maybe that's more of a conversation around why was this kid actually picked? You've got a coaching panel and a lot of people behind the scenes who have said, you know, we've seen something in player X. It might not be the things that you see on a Friday night or that you see at various tryouts and tournaments, but there might be something different that the coaches are seeing. So, you know, I think that that's just social media being a reflection of society once again. You know, if you don't have all the facts, you need to tread carefully. You need to actually be open and expansive. Rob used the classic quote last week from Ted Lasso, you know, be curious, not judgmental. Why not? Why not actually expand the way you're thinking and think instead of, oh, this player's not that good. It's like, what have they seen that I'm not seeing? And that's where you can actually build those conversations in a really interesting and fun way. But, you know, not everyone's going to get that. And, you know, social media has its downsides. We're not saying that it's a rosy place out there. But you don't have to take any of this in the certain way that people do. So I think that's probably the bigger part of this.
Yep, and it is that having that thicker skin.
Yeah.
It's like, look, not everyone's going to agree with me all the time. And look, I've disagreed with multiple team selections over the years, but I'm not going to post about it. Like, instead I do a little bit of digging. It's like, well, was I at that trial / tournament / selection? No. Well, something's probably happened that I didn't see, or that coach coaches a different style to where they need that athlete for whatever the reason might be. Cool. Like, it's not my place to sit there and judge that. You know, I might have my own opinions behind the scenes, but I'm not going to put it out there, in particular if it's going to negatively detract from another athlete. And that's something I think we do have to be mindful of. Our junior athletes are junior athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Treat them as if they are junior athletes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even senior athletes, you know, I understand, you know, they're pros and, you know, they are used to things and all that sort of stuff, but does that make it okay? Does it make it okay to jump on there and, you know, like you mentioned earlier, before social media, if we didn't agree with a selection or something or whatever, let's say a selection, we didn't agree with it, the most that would probably find out about it would be like 5 to 10 people who you see in that week that you care about it before you forget about it. Whereas now, you know, you could post something and 500 to 1,000 people can see it within 5 seconds. And I just don't think that – I think we forget that these are people you know, at the very heart of it, they are people. And anytime we post things, would we say it to their face? Yep. If they're standing straight in front of us, right in front of us, would we be – some of the aggressiveness that I've seen in these posts and particularly on player selection, if that person was standing right in front of us, would we say it to our face? Now, a lot of people would say, yeah, I'd say it. Really, they wouldn't. No. It's not. It's not the way it is. So, you know, it's just a – I don't know. I don't believe in the, oh, they're pros – you know, sort of thing, because they're humans. And I think we've got to do better in our community about remembering that and what that can do to people by, you know, because we're human, one, it takes 100 positive comments to really get rid of one negative.
Yep.
You know, that's how we're kind of wired. So, you know, I just think it's social media is such a – it can be used for so much good, but I feel like the bad outweighs the good at times.
I think that you're also talking on that beautiful keyboard warrior phrase that we're sort of seeing so much, and you're going to be hot dog 666991111112
on Twitter. And you're going to have an up late game show?
You're going to have a picture of Elon Musk as your profile picture, and you're just going to go off because you're using the anonymity of that platform to spread, you know, malicious content. You know, I'm firmly of the belief that if you stand by your words, you should have your name attached to them. You know, that comes from me being a journalist, putting my byline on everything. So I'm at Jared Potter, surprisingly, on Twitter. So I think that, you know, if there is a time and a place for anonymous accounts, certainly, but by and large, in the space that we're in, if you want to have that opinion, maybe you should be thinking about how you're actually representing it. Because, you know, having six burners, I'm sure Rob's got a few burners that we don't know about.
Oddly enough, I don't. Like, this is a conversation we've had a lot, is that we really do need a burner account. And it's usually to pump up the at Jared Potter account.
Oh, of course.
But it is one of those things where we thought about it and it's like, geez, I understand where people are coming from with an opinion, but you've only got half the story. And it's like, yeah. I'd love to come in and educate, but there are times where it's like, well, it probably shouldn't come from me either because I probably shouldn't know the information or I shouldn't be putting it out as like a Basketball Victoria employee as well. Like it's, I mean, we joked about it before, but we have multiple conversations on the couch where it's like, am I going to get sacked if I post this? It's like, yeah, probably. It's like, all right, well, I'll just hold off on that one and just see how it plays out. But you bang on the money. Like it's that real dangerous space between, like, I'm not going to post something for me that I don't know the full story about. And there have been times where I've had to retract a tweet or something like that. It's like, yeah, actually, I didn't quite get the full story on this one. And, you know, I've potentially butchered this. But like, we've got to be really careful too that by liking or retweeting something, you now own that opinion as well. And that's something I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily like, where you can go and like someone's comment about, oh, I can't believe they picked this person. You go and like it. It's like, well, now we're associating you with that opinion.
Mm.
So the danger of that is, like, it's really profound, I think, in that space.
Yeah, and from a coaching perspective, that could cost you at some point.
Absolutely.
You know, if there's an opinion out there about a particular coach or a selection or, you know, a team or something like that, you go and like it, people remember, and then eventually you get to a point where you might need those people to either get a position or a job or something like that, and they will remember that and it could come back to bite you. So again, it's just, you know, it doesn't need to be that the problem with the negative side of social media, I think, is they have just enough information to be dangerous.
Yep.
Not enough information to understand. And I think, absolutely, you know, that's one thing that that you did so well for us, Jared, is tell the story of our sport. But there's so much more behind it that there's just, one, it wouldn't be interesting to a lot of people, but two, there's not enough time and space on social media to get all that out there. So, you know, there's always more to it, and I think, you know, people need to keep that in mind and you know, maybe sleep on it You know, I know sometimes I'm big on if I'm frustrated or emotional at something, I'll type something out and then delete it. You know, just
get it out.
Get it out. Yeah. You know, I definitely don't type it into social media just in case.
Notes on your phone.
Like notes on my phone.
Yeah, if you look through Zoe's notes on her phone, it's usually like Rob has refused to do this, 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 and this. So it's
the stories I have from previous life.
Exactly.
Of being in newspapers and people writing jokes into their copy and they forgot to delete it and that goes out the next day. And you've written, you know, some interesting four-letter words and you think, oh, you are going to cop it. But that's the thing. Like, there's a space for it. But you don't – I think, you know, just in general terms, should you be acting on super aggressive emotions in the moment of anything you do? Social media is just a reflection of you. You should be yourself by all means, but don't be yourself to excess. Don't be the version of you that you don't want to see out there. Like, we're not going to pretend that social media isn't curated and that it isn't the perfect idealization of people. Most of it is, you know. We're not all sitting there getting our blush ready and making sure that everything's picture perfect.
Filters.
Every hair perfect. And, you know, it's that wonderful time of the night where you've had two drinks and you're feeling fun. No one posts the photo of them 3 a.m. getting a kebab, even though that's my favourite time of the night going out.
I'd suggest Nick Mihai does. Big shout out to Nick Mihai there.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, we're all going to create the best version of ourselves online, but the extent that you do, that's always going to be reflective of who you can be. Like, if I'm thinking of people I really like following at the moment in my job, I think of people like Sarah Blitzavs. Like, she has got a fantastic social presence. She doesn't shy away from the fact that she really enjoys what she does, but she's a professional athlete too. So there's this really wonderful mix of her quirkiness, her zany stuff. When she was in quarantine over the last couple of years, the pure insanity of some of the stuff she did. Like, I think she ran a marathon in her hotel room or something. Like, you know, truly some wonderful and weird stuff on there. But at the same time, none of it is detrimental to who she is. She's a phenomenal athlete. She's a phenomenal ambassador for our sport. So you can be yourself. You can have that personality. You don't need to say, oh, well, I can only post this amazing photo of me doing this sick dunk. You can also post who you are away from the game. And you don't have to be as granular as people think you have to be. You're not going to get judged if you post, you know, you out with your mates having a coffee, you out with your mates at a pub. You're going to get judged if you post really bad stuff.
Yeah, you're punching on at said pub.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. But that's the thing. I think it's is really important too for athletes and coaches is understanding, like you said, a lot of things are filtered and curated and it's strategic. You don't have to live up to that standard either. And what I mean by that is it's not real. So if you're going to try and compare yourself to what you're seeing on someone's Instagram, for example, it's the one photo that you're seeing on Instagram, it's taken 95 photos to get that one that they've decided to post. It's holding yourself to those sort of, I guess, standards and expectations is actually going to drive you the wrong way. It's going to make social media become a place that just can sometimes ruin your life. You know, you're finding you're always trying to keep up with everyone rather than, you know, just being you and showing who you are.
Well, and part of it too, and we'll sort of delve a little bit into the JP's world of social media, is that we are two of the people responsible for making his life harder with the size 5 basketball and the mandatory coach accreditation.
That's an interesting comment.
Yeah, so like Jared was like the keeper of all things civility in that. And we usually, actually, that's not the case when a comment comes in and says, you have ruined basketball forever. And it's like, well, actually, no, here's the information behind it. To just try and enlighten people is that like, yeah, okay, we understand why you've got that opinion on something. But here's more information on it. Mm. So if you choose to go and read that information, great. If you don't, well, we also understand.
I mean, it was in the post. The information was in the post.
Some of it was.
People don't read a lot, sorry.
Yeah, it is one of those things that's out there. But it is a difficult space because you can throw something on your social media at 10 p.m. at night, go to bed, wake up the next morning and find out that it's kicked off. And it's like, damn, what happened? Like, but you've put the wrong spelling on something, or you've accused someone of something in there. So you just have to be really mindful in that space. So, I mean, from a parent perspective, how do they navigate social media, especially given they now have social media, whereas, like I said, 20 years ago, like, my folks wouldn't be on social media, so if they had an opinion about something, all they'd do is tell their immediate family via phone, and it would be a phone call rather than a text.
Or to a house phone.
To a house phone. Yeah. So, you know, odds of someone picking that up, pretty slim. But now they're also dealing with their kids who are on social media and are potentially not the most open on social media. Yeah. How do parents go about that?
I think it's, you know, like any conversation you have with your children, it's about being yourself, being honest, but not, you know, going too far, not pushing these boundaries too far. As long as you are operating in a respectful, kind, well-natured way, social media is nothing more than a tool to celebrate and highlight. So I think a lot of the stuff I've done over the last 6 years, it hasn't all necessarily been ball in hoop, which, you know, our product is ball in hoop, and that's perfectly fine. Basketball is a fantastic sport. But what we see behind the scenes, what we see that, you know, there's the fun of people having entertaining situations away from the court. One of the favorite photos I've ever posted is a picture of Isabel Stewart eating a cookie at an MPP camp. I still call her cookies to this day. So, I mean,
and Jenny still hates you for it.
She still hates me for it. That's all right. I still love Jenny. But I think the big thing is there's so much to people that is not just the on-court side of things. So we can have a little bit more fun. I'm not saying the BV accounts are having too much of this, though. And, you know, we sort of moderate where we can get to, how far we can get to. But I think that, you know, we've got a fantastic sport. We've got a fantastic community, you know, whether it's players, coaches, referees, team managers, parents, siblings. Someone brought their dog once, which I thought was just wonderful. Loved that. But it's just the environment that we're building is so much more than just get on the court.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. So looking at it from a player's perspective, so obviously our junior athletes do go through a lot of social media training at schools and places like that. Like at schools do a pretty good job, I believe, on telling them what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Obviously, again, you have to be very mindful that you want to show your personality, as you spoke about before, JP, with like Sarah Blitzabs. Like, you do find out a lot more about athletes. Like, yeah. I know when we were coaching in NBL 1 and Siebel, I followed a lot of the competition on Instagram just to find out, like, actually, they're in Canberra this week. They won't be playing against us this week. We can take them off the scout. So from a coaching perspective, I found that very valuable because I knew roughly what was coming. But it was always interesting to see what people were posting on there. And it's like, what sort of a person is this? Are they a real introvert that doesn't post a lot and is more a viewer of content? Are they someone that's trying to sort of sell their brand, I suppose? Yep. And brand is something now that probably didn't exist for a lot of people 10, 15 years ago, but people are really conscious about their brand. So if you're a player, how do you build a brand online that you want to be sort of proud of, I suppose, and sell yourself?
Yeah, I mean, the thing I was initially taught, I love tangents, by the way. I will always do like these wild Billy Connolly tangents, and I'll come back to what I'm thinking about 50 minutes later. But I'll try to keep this one brief. So when I was working in newspapers, my first ever boss told me, imagine you walk into an elevator. What are you saying about your story to the person in the elevator? You got 15 seconds. You got 20 seconds. The relation of that information has to be sharp, concise, to the point. And I think socials can do that as well. I think that we can show what we are, show who we are, without necessarily having it to be this big circus and this big thing of, you know, oh, I've got to post everything I do. I've got to do all this other stuff because my friend did this. You know, I think the smartest thing you can do on socials is not feel obliged to post on socials. Have the accounts, by all means. I think it's really smart to lock down all your handles, you know, get your name on all of the platforms, because if you want to use them in the future, you've got it there. And then from there, you can always start thinking, well, you know, how do I want to highlight myself? How do I want to be this person in this world that, you know, there are different layers to it. And I think the last 15, 20 years of social media, especially for a sport like us, where, you know, we're not going to necessarily get the big sponsorships knocking on our door, but you might get some really cool, interesting little activations along the way. And then you can partner, and then you can be sponsored, and then you've got these relationships along the way. Why not build your brand in that sense? You know, you can have these multitudes of little little partnerships, little sponsorships, and that way you're building your brand up and people know, oh yeah, you know, this person does some really fun things on their socials, they support these products, they do these things. There's no shame in that. You can be a lot of different things in this industry because you are a professional. You're treating your social media accounts as a professional aspect of your life. So there's no need to really push it one way or the other.
Yep. And I think that's really valuable for players. Like I will confess, I have used a couple of coupon codes from various places around the joint on social medias where it's like, hey, you sponsor this using the coupon code Jared Potter. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. I'll give that a crack.
More money to the
bill. Yeah, exactly. Shipping goes up by $20 every time you have to use it. But it is something for players to be really conscious of too, that this can be an absolutely valuable tool for you. But I would be lying if I haven't said, as a coach, I haven't not picked kids because I've seen something online that it's like, I don't like that. I don't like that. So, like what they've posted is either constant swearing or drinking online or something like that. And it's like, hold on, you're an underage athlete. You shouldn't be doing that. Yep. Like, it's, don't put that sort of stuff out there. Like, you have to be very mindful that you don't want to be arrested on the back of your social media because you've gone and, you know, posted about you doing something dumb as well.
Well, and colleges are big on it.
Yep.
They will always check your social media, even if you've got it on private. They have ways to, I don't know how they do it, but they've got it. And they get in there and they see all that sort of stuff. And it can be the difference between being offered a scholarship and not. So it is really important as an athlete to make sure that, you know, what you're putting out there is something you'd be happy for them to see.
Yep. And you've got to be mindful too. Like, so if you go and check someone's social media account, which is public, and then they have in their bio, oh, and I also have this other account, which is private, it's like that raises more suspicions for me than it actually makes me feel good about, oh yeah, but at least they've kept it private. No. Now I'm thinking you're a bit shifty. Like, what's happened here and why have you got this other account? So you do have to be very mindful too that if you are going to have other accounts, I probably wouldn't publicise that.
Yeah, it's the interesting part of social media at the moment, and sadly we see the trolls and the people brigading against people. You know, from what I've seen in my job, you know, the strain and the stress that young women suffer on social media is awful, and we're seeing so many people just go at them for very, very minor things or for no reason at all, sadly. So there's a time and a place for those private accounts you're talking about. But, yeah, you've got to balance it out. Everything's got to be some form of moderation, some form of you accepting that, you know, I am putting myself out in a public-facing situation. Now, it might not seem like that when you're going to try out for under-16s VJBL. But you are. You are the embodiment of all the things you do online. It's harsh, but that's sadly the truth. So, you know, what other things are you putting on there? You know, things I always find interesting. It's easy to post your highlight reel, but have you posted anything about you getting up on the bench? Have you posted anything about you being a fantastic teammate and talking to your coach and these other parts of you? Colleges love that stuff because you can go and get a 20-point shooter across Melbourne. Can you go and get that 20-point shooter who is also a fantastic person, a great teammate, someone who is going to jump on the live grenade? That is so much a part of social media people forget about, and that you've got the opportunity to showcase who you are on a multitude of facets.
And, I mean, the interesting part of all that, have you shared someone else's stuff? Like, have you given props to a teammate or something like that? I think is a really good thing that you can do to share someone else's content and try and promote other people. Like, yeah. I think we have a little bit of a duty of that. And again, hypocritically, I'm talking because I post nothing from anyone. But it's one of those areas that I do think we have a little bit of an obligation to try and help out our teammates. If you're a player and someone gets a little highlight reel going, we'll repost it.
Like, I think that the next generation is fantastic with that.
Yep.
Not to seem like I'm the old ancient dinosaur of social media, even though I do feel that way a lot of the time, but you see these kids and you see, you know, that under-16s state team announcement goes out and that player has 70 or 80 of their friends reshare it and say, this is so fantastic. This person is a phenomenal player. They deserve this. They've worked for it. You know, I think that that is an underappreciated side of socials as well. The community builds around anything we do in life. You know, in previous lifetimes, you know, we were emailing jokes to each other. Now we text the jokes to each other. Before that, people would have faxed them, or people would have put them on a carrier pigeon and sent them across. Maybe there were some funny smoke signals out in the past. But, you know, whatever it is, community will always build around media and the mediation that we have. So why not share it with the people you love, share it with the people who are important to you, and showcase everything about you? Because, yeah, we're a team sport. I think that, you know, it's not sexy to have 4 assists sometimes. It's not sexy to have 5 big rebounds and flick it off. But the team aspect of basketball cannot be undersold. I know that we're all searching individually for opportunities, but at the end of the day, you've got to balance these things. You are a good teammate. You are a good player. If you're not both of those things, maybe you'll miss that opportunity. And social media has that chance for you to showcase everything that you are.
Yep, no, it's a great point. And we do have to be really mindful. Like, I look at like the team I coach at the moment, so it's an under-18 team. The second a game or a training is finished, like, they walk over to their bags and phones are out straight away. And I'm sure a part of it is I've just missed out on whatever's happened for the last 2 hours, so I want to now start posting about everything that goes on. But part of it is they want to go and interact again. And it does, I must admit, it does worry me a little bit as to how much time do our kids spend on their phones. Yep. And on social media and the like. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, they delete the app from their phone. So if you now want to go on social media, you have to go through, like, the web browser, because it just makes it a little bit harder to get there in the first place. But I do worry about how much time our kids spend on social media at night. Like, yep. Is it a, now I'm going to bed at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning because I can't stop getting off social media? Because it is an addiction. Like, it can be very addictive. Like, there are the amount of times I hear Zoe laughing from the other end of the house, and it's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, just on TikTok, someone fell over. Like, it's that sort of stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay, but it is also 11:45. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's that sort of stuff. But
I wish I was perfect on this. I'm sharing memes with my wife who's sitting at the other end of the couch.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to use social media in different ways like that. And I think, you know, how do you moderate yourself? Yep. At the same thing, you also have to moderate yourself on the good things you do. How many times have we gone over to an athlete and said, mate, you are putting in some great work, but you are putting in too much work. You're here 4 hours before training. You're here 2 hours after. Like, you know, I see where you're going with this. There have been stories we've heard from the COE about, we log your hours. We know how much you're on court. You're on court way too much. So there can be too much of a good thing as well. So that balancing point where you find the best part of yourself is always key. And I don't think that's just social media. That's a multitude of different aspects of your life, you know. How much do you reach out to your family and say hello? How much do you go and walk the dog? How much do you go and do other things of yourself?
I think the thing that's worrying for me with the amount of time that our athletes and coaches spend on social media is how often they're searching for validation through social media, so the likes, the comments, the shares, the all that sort of stuff, or whatever else is new that's out there that I don't know of yet. But that is, I think, a real problem that I don't have an answer for. But the you know, that's part of why I think as soon as they walk over, they're looking at their phone, you know. What, you know, they may have posted something right before, so now they want to see how many likes they've got, because that, you know, makes them feel good. And I don't know, I don't think it can ever be fixed, because social media will never go away or anything like that. But, you know, if we can encourage our athletes to find validation in things that are real, because likes aren't real, you know, comments on social media is not real. It's just, so if we could get them to find the validation in the stuff you're talking about, Potter, like, you know, how many assists did you get for someone else? How often did you pump up your teammate? How often did you, you know, were you a good sibling at home? You know, were you good to your parents? Were you, you know, did you do something for someone else today? That finding validation in things that are real, I think will go a long way to help break that, I guess, addiction of social media.
Yeah, I think, you know, the person you can be is always the toughest part on social media, because Dopamine is a hell of a drug. I love it. I revel in finding imaginary internet points. And when you start seeing them go up and up and up and up and up, it's really, really fun. You know, when I gave in my resignation on social media, as you do in this day and age, I clicked on it a couple more times throughout the night to see the numbers rise and see the people saying the nice things. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot to it. And there's definitely that part where you've got to be careful of how much you use social media. At the same time, you don't necessarily need to restrict yourself too much. But it's, I'm going to say moderation way too much in this hour. But, where do you find your middle ground on anything you do? And social media really should do that too. But I think to talk back to the point, because I've gone off on too much of a tangent, why not be the good teammate and why not show it? So I love taking photos of the bench for the one reason that it's pure excitement. It's, you're not in the game, but you are in the game. You are switched in. You are dialed up. We posted a social probably a couple of years ago. And it was a bit of tongue-in-cheek. It was like one of the big V players, instead of saying points per game, it was like tower waves per game because he was a fantastic person on the bench. And it was tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, fantastic teammate, fantastic person that you look to as a culture builder in your organization and someone that is going to add to your team. It might not be points, but it might be something completely bigger than that.
And it is one of those things where social media is not going away, as you mentioned. So rather than steer our kids off it, we probably need to educate them on how to use it for good. And I think that's probably where more, learn how to use social media so that it works for you, not you're working for it. And we've all heard the content about, if it's free, you are the product and all that sort of stuff. We all get it. But it is something that our kids do need to be a little bit more mindful about how they use it and what they're using it for. So things like having your privacy settings set so that the right people are seeing the right content at the right time, those types of things I think are really valuable for players. And it's really interesting. Anytime I see a highlight reel posted on, say, an Instagram, I'll usually go to the comments and just have a little bit of a look through. And it's like some people are pumping up their teammates and saying how great this is. Others are sitting there saying, oh, yeah, but you didn't do that against us. It's like, okay, I'll remember that name because, again, that can cost you down the road somewhere. And not that I'm in a position where I'm picking anyone or anything like that, but it's certainly something that we have to be a little bit mindful of that, okay, are you trying to pump someone else up by deflating someone? And that's probably the issue I have with it a lot. So it's trying to find that balancing act between the two where you use it for good, not for evil. And, Rob, story time as we roll through this. So a number of years ago, Zoe and I were coaching an under-18 boys team who were an entertaining group of kids. Like, I must admit, I still touch base with a lot of them now just to sort of check in and see how they're going. And I did break my rule at that stage because I didn't think I was coaching them anymore after under-16s, and I ended up coaching them in 18s, and I did have a few of them on social media. And back in the day with Facebook in particular, you used to get a notification when someone became friends with someone else. So it would come up with, like, Zoe Carr is now friends with Jared Potter, and you could comment on those. And my boys in particular thought it was hilarious when one of them would become friends with a girl online and they jump in those comments straight away. Oh, is this the girl that so-and-so was talking about? Oh, is this the person that he said he was going to take to the movies on Friday night? And it was funny the first couple of times and it's like, yeah, okay. And I never put myself in the position of the other person as to, oh, geez, this is not a good look or anything like that. I just sort of laugh a couple of times until it got to the point where it's like, is this the person that you were telling your coach and tagged me in that you were going to bring to the game to watch them play on Friday night? It's like, okay, we've hit a point now where we have to address this. So as a coach, it's like, and it happened over that summer break. So for a little while there, I wasn't seeing them. And it was that first session back. It's like, right, that 90-minute session is now a 120-minute session. Strap in for the last half hour because we're having a chat. And it was all about, okay, inappropriate. Think about if you were on the other side of this thing. Be mindful that that is so easily screenshotted. So even if you delete it, we can still get a hold of that because there's always someone that screenshots something that then gets, spiraling out of control. But it was also a case of a number of those kids wanted to go further with their basketball at that stage. And obviously at Basketball Victoria, we get a lot of phone calls about kids and sort of say, look, can you give me a background on player X, player Y, and what they're like? And I know all our coaches, we're not going to lie for anyone. We think that kid's a problem, we're going to tell you they're a problem because we want to be asked about the next kid that's coming. And we don't want to lie and say, actually, great kid. Then they go there and it turns out not a great kid. But we don't get that phone call next time and it costs someone else a job down the road somewhere, or a job or an opportunity down the road somewhere. So as coaches, you do need to be across it. Please do educate your kids and your athletes on what's going on in that space. Yes, it, like I said, that situation, super funny. Like, I enjoyed it and all that sort of stuff. But again, without moderation, things can spiral out of control fairly quickly. So you do have to be really mindful. I suppose one of the questions I do have is, what action can you take if you see something that's a problem online? Like, if you're a coach and you see a comment that is like wildly inappropriate by either one of your players or just another person, what can you actually do about it?
Yeah, it's always tough because social media doesn't really stop. And, you know, you might not be able to get the same traction. As Zoe was saying, the negatives do outweigh the positives a lot of the time when it comes to amplification and the way that people see negativity as opposed to seeing positivity. So reaching out to that person is always a good first step. If they are continuing to do that, then you have to take it further. You have to start blocking. You have to start reporting because you have to protect yourself and your mental health too. You might not be able to change their perspective, but you can take their perspective out of your world. So it's not always a case that you can perfectly curate your bubble, so to speak, and have all of these negative influences out of it, because you shouldn't do that in life in general. You should be able to hear criticism. But the difference between criticism and negativity is a very fine line that people dance across day to day. So how do you be a better person online? I think that, you know, it's easier to educate someone from a position of positive intent and to show them that, you know, pull that player aside and say, mate, I saw these things on your Instagram. It's really not smart to do that. It's really not in your best interest to do that as well. And then pivot. Show them. It's like, well, why don't you, you know, show us this side of yourself. I see you on the court doing funny trick shots. I see you with your mates and you're high-fiving and doing all that. There are so many sides of you that we're not seeing on socials. Maybe they're the things that you can show instead.
Yep, absolutely. And the issue with doom scrolling, as it's called, like it can be really detrimental to kids where they just literally sit there for hours on end and just roll through everything. You're probably going to get to a point where you've tuned out to everything going on. Like, I know, like Zoe, you spoke about it before, is it can be a little bit of an escape at times where you just tune out. Like, you do have half an hour where you actually need to get your mind off something. And flicking through socials can be a great way of taking your mind off something, but you do have to be mindful that it can lead to things like anxiety, depression, and just fatigue in general, just looking at a screen over and over, because you do end up, unfortunately, comparing yourself to other people, and why do they have more likes on their post than I have on my post, which can cause problems. So the comparison thing, and I know, again, Zoe, you spoke about that before, don't compare. Like, it's not fair, I don't think, in that space to compare, because you're not talking apples and apples or carrots and carrots, as the case may be. But you do have to be very mindful.
Carrots and fingers.
Carrots and fingers.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, they can look very similar when you're churning through that thing. But it is something that you have to be really mindful of too, is to check how much time you do spend on social media. Like, I think most phones at this point will tell you and give you a little bit of a breakdown on how much time do you spend on that. Like, I know when Zoe, you were in Hungary for Worlds recently, like, my screen time went up considerably, and it was usually because we'd be on FaceTime together or you weren't around, so it's like, well, I've got nothing else going on, I'll just sit there on TikTok, and all of a sudden my screen time's gone from like 4 hours the week before to 6 hours the week after that, and it's like, yeah, good job, idiot. And there were so many things you could have been doing instead of just flicking through on that sort of stuff. So you do have to be really mindful just how much time you are spending on social media. A great article on Scott Fitch from USA Basketball that I would recommend having a little bit of a read of, it's all around the pause before you post, and I think that's, yep, that's really valuable advice, is to, okay, if I throw this out there, what are the repercussions? Like, are they going to be positive? Are they going to be negative? Should I sit on this for a little bit? Is there something I just hadn't considered because I've, you know, typed this out in a fit of rage or whatever the case may be? But he goes around and talks to a lot of schools and high school students about social media and the like. And one of his first things that he sort of jumps in is with, he's like, all right, I've gone through everyone's social media page in this room and I'm going to put up something in the room or someone's profile in the room that I don't think is appropriate, and he loves watching all the kids squirm. It's like, yeah, think about that. So from that perspective, what have you got out there that could potentially be a problem? Go and lock that stuff down, delete it, get rid of it, knowing that once it's hit the internet, it's probably there forever, but try and make it as difficult to be that first touch point as people think of you in that space as well. So the thing with social media, it can be truthful, but it is always curated and filtered. And that's part of the battle, I feel like, for a lot of people out there as well. And the great acronym, because I love acronyms, and let's face it, we all we live in basketball, so we have a new one every second day, it feels like, but is that think? So is it truthful? Is it helpful? Does it inspire? Is it nice or necessary? And is it kind? Like, that's what you should be probably checking through before you go about that. And it doesn't mean it you have to tick all five of those boxes by any means, but if you can at least cover off some things that, you know, is this coming from a good place that's going to be a good thing for other people, you're in a lot better space when you jump in there as well. So that wraps it up on my end. Have you got any more, Zoe?
I suppose I just want to take this opportunity to wish you all the best, JP.
Oh, thank you.
I've spoken to a lot of athletes who are devastated that you're moving on. And
coaches less so. Like, coaches are like, honestly, coaches are like, man, he got me. Like, my worst moment when I was just about, you know, full spray of a kid is like, he managed to get me on that and I had to tell him to take the picture down, those types of things. Parents, absolutely miss him. Dave Herbert's the exception. Dave Herbert is in like more photos and looking glamorous as always than anyone else.
He's built the good brand.
Ah, smart.
No, I just hope the next person that comes in understands our understanding of photos.
It's a tricky tightrope, that one.
But in all seriousness, we are absolutely going to miss you, mate. Like, the things you've done for this sport, the memories you've captured for our kids and our parents are just second to none. And, yeah, they're going to be really big shoes to fill. And, no, I meant it when I said it when you first resigned. No one has told our story better than you. So the things you've done for us, we just – I don't think we can thank you enough for. And, yeah, hopefully the next person is able to follow on from where you're leaving off. But we do wish you all the best, and we hope that – you know, your roundabouts and your freeways are just as exciting as our camps.
I think that they'll love seeing me too. But no, thank you for that. I mean, I think the thing, I was chatting to Rachel Antoniadu at the NBL One South Awards, and the thing she said to me, because I've worked with her while I was at newspapers and then in the basketball world since I've been here, and what she said to me is, people always felt like you cared. People always felt that you weren't just ticking boxes with what you did. There was always something behind it. And I've really been sort of thinking on that for the last couple of weeks since I've resigned, that, you know, you have to invest. You have to invest in where you are. It's so easy in this, you know, hyperspeed 24/7 social media world to forget those wins and forget the people you've worked with along the way. But you always got to relate it back somehow and find those people that, you know, might not be the most well-promoted, those people who deserve that shout-out and haven't got it. And I think that's what I've always loved doing. I've always loved finding that little place, that little moment for everyone. So I think that's probably my sort of point that I want to leave on, is just I hope those memories still get found. I hope that people still see that Basketball Victoria loves seeing all this stuff. Like, we love sharing those awesome AJC memories. Love going to Country Champs and seeing what rainbow mullets and what weird things the kids have put on their heads. Like, haircuts are so feral at the moment. I can't stress that enough.
Just so you're aware, we're blaming you for that. Like, far too many posts of mullets and that sort of stuff.
I will promote mullets till the day I die, but I don't like them. There's nothing funnier than a really good mullet. But, yeah, I think that, you know, that's part of the community we have. And, you know, we've got to share it. I think that, you know, a lot of sports and a lot of other places have started to catch on to that. You see a lot of these behind-the-scenes moments now. You see, oh, this moment where player X is debuting and we're going to tell them and here's their reaction. You see all these things where it's just them having fun at training or messing about on TikTok, as we've all really suffered watching too much on TikTok. But that's the best part of life. I think that we've got so many different people in this community from so many different walks of life. So why not share it? Why not see all the people on their own equal footing too? So I've loved it. I've loved this time. I've loved spending, you know, hours every week in this hot box watching you guys talk about conversation point X. Most of it over my head as a very, very average basketball player. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I can sit there and nod and go, that is a good coaching point there, Rob. I definitely know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no one says that, mate. That's okay. Like, I appreciate you pumping the tyres up at the end of it, but yeah, no one says
that. I was kind of hoping he was angling towards a So I'm making a comeback.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded promising for a little
it
while.
It did a little bit there.
And it is. And
no, like John Cena moments.
Yeah, exactly. But it is genuinely one of those things where, like, I know a lot of, we talk to a lot of other people from other states, and it's like, man, your social media, like, it's just always good. Like, it's the right kids at the right time. And, you know, similar deal, like, when you did resign and you posted it, like, I was reading through a lot of the comments, and it's like, yeah, how many of these people have these memories now because of the work you've put into it and the yep. time you put into it. And, you know, you have your favourites and they tend to be the country athletes, which is okay too. Like, it's
yeah. Shout out
to Jade Melbourne, absolute MVP.
Yeah, Jade Melbourne horse was another one over the years.
The greatest
as well.
Of all, Traralgon, Jade Melbourne. Goat. But those jokes will always exist. I love the horse as well. Like, you know, those things are just so imperative to share yep. because we're more than just ball and hoop.
Mm.
And I think that's hopefully what I'm leaving behind. But at the end of the day, if someone takes it in a different direction, take it in a great direction. Take it in another place, you know. When I picked up these shoes when I started here, they felt big to me. But I had to work on it. I had to keep pushing. You know, it's the same things we tell the athletes. You are going to get out what you put in. If you are going to work on, you know, that big jump shot, if you're going to work on your three-point, if you're going to work on your defense, you'll get it back. So that's what I had to do when I came here, and I think that that's what the next person has to do as well. You know, maybe they'll encounter that, and people will say, oh, I remember Jared, and he was a great bloke, or he took really awful photos of me. But at the end of the day, like, they're going to build their own social media story for us, and then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with how the future looks. I just hope that they celebrate all the aspects along the way.
Yep, absolutely. No, it is genuine, mate. We can't thank you enough. Like, the amount of Simpsons quotes in the office have gone down 85% already, like, just with you leaving, unfortunately, which is always a bleaker place to be. But coaches, do please reach out if you do need any help with the social media sides of things. Like, it is something that as Basketball Victoria, we have to be really conscious of, that we want to leave our athletes and our game in a better space because of it. And, you know, just that pause before you post, have a real think about, you know, what you're doing, what's the imprint you want to leave on the game. And obviously, JP, you leave with a great imprint on our sport in the state and in particular. But, coaches, that does wrap us up for this week. If you want to reach out, you are more than welcome to do so with the hashtag Talking Split or Pothole Potter, depending on what you're after on the day. Either one is fine.
Send us a photo of your pothole near your house exactly. with hashtag pothole.
If you could just put a little bit of a geolocation on it so we can actually work out where that is, and JP will get on to filling that.
I'll be out with a tarmac.
Yeah, exactly. Full Ron Swanson style filling potholes, which will be fantastic. Coaches, thank you very much for jumping into the podcast for another week. We are actually off for a couple of weeks of the school holidays, which means jamboree time and all those fun things, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the podcast once we work out who's actually going to share it now that Potter's leaving. So that might be another issue for another time. But coaches, thanks very much and good luck with your coaching over the next couple of weeks. Look, tune in, enjoy the tribe.